Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, April 13th, 8:05 Central Time. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, Pastor Brant Hoffman from Christ Lutheran Church and School in Coos Bay, Oregon, serves as pastor and principal there. Pastor Hoffman, welcome to His Time.
Thank you.
Looking forward to studying God's Word with you this morning. You're up nice and early this morning, too. Thanks for starting your day before before the sun's even up.
Oh, yeah.
Nice and dark there, I'm sure. But looking forward to studying God's Word with you today. Tell us about Christ Lutheran Church and School in Coos Bay, Oregon.
Well, the ministry to the people here has been ongoing for, 100 years in 2007. The school is a robust, vibrant part of the community. We offer preschool through seventh grade, including a wonderful sort of liberal arts topics, including Latin and violin, music theory, these kind of things. Just been a great ministry here and a huge blessing to the people of Coos Bay.
Well, thanks be to God for that ministry that proclaims the good news of Jesus to people in Coos Bay, including children who are learning the Word of God there at Christ Lutheran School. We're studying Luke chapter 7 today, verses 36 through 50. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this?
Well, it's always fun when a Pharisee tries to catch Jesus doing something, and I say in quotation marks, wrong or wrongly. Because today we're going to talk about an accusation made towards Jesus as far as his authenticity as a prophet. And his response will be shocking to these people, to the Pharisees, and perhaps even to modern man. It'll be shocking as to how Jesus deals with the, quote, worst people in society.
All right, let's take a look. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. We're studying with Pastor Brant Hoffman from Christ Lutheran Church and School in Coos Bay, Oregon. If you have a question or a comment on the text today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering him said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, Say it, teacher. All right, before we get into what Jesus says to him, let's talk about the scenario. So a Pharisee asked him to eat with him, and Jesus accepts the invitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so here he is. This is going to be an event. It's going to be a feast, because if he is being welcomed into this Pharisee's home as a prophet, the order of the day is going to be not just give him crackers and cheese kind of thing. It's going to be a feast. He's going to, there's two possible outcomes to this, because one, if he's entertaining a true prophet, this is going to look good for him. If he's going to expose a false prophet, this is going to look good for him. So there, the Pharisees are, you know, we always say a Pharisees of the feather, they tend to flock together. And so here he is in his home, and he's giving him all of the proper treatments of a prophet. So, and then that's when you kind of hear in the background, dun dun dun. And then a woman of the city who was a sinner, you know, and so she came in, and it's not unheard of for uninvited people to come to a large feast, especially when you're entertaining a prophet. And so she came in, and she wasn't really doing what they wanted her to do. They wanted her to just maybe hide off and be in shame, and she didn't do that. It's pretty well thought that perhaps this woman is a prostitute, and she's from the city and coming in here, and she would be, you know, when you look through Leviticus 13, 14, and 15, and it goes into all these elaborate rituals about dealing with people who are unclean for any reason. It's really complex. And she just has the nerve to walk in and weeping and fall at Jesus' feet and starts anointing him. And it's a social nightmare for the Pharisee. So that's quite a picture to say, I'm holding a feast for someone who is believed to be a direct link to our God, who we trust, who is one, who Moses will tell us that he is one, and he's our God. And all of a sudden, we find that a sinner is not really welcome there. And that's really kind of the starting point that we have to go through here, because we know this because he says, well, if this man were a prophet, calling him into doubt, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And he's wanting now, he's kind of shaming her. He's already shaming her. Now he's kind of shaming Jesus for having an interaction with a sinner. And in Jesus, in his proper form, says, well, Simon, I have something to say to you. and he sets it up perfectly, because the Pharisee needs to know what's going on here, what's happening. And so he just says, well, say it, teacher. Tell me what you've got to say about this thing, is this transgression. And so now he's just, you know, where can you possibly go from here? And of course, when we continue on with the reading, we're going to see just exactly where we can go from here.
Say it, teacher. Verse 41, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and has wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So here Jesus speaks to Simon, to the Pharisees. A certain moneylender had two debtors. This almost sounds like a parable.
Mm-hmm. It does. And what's really fun about this is the Lutheran Study Bible has a funny little commentary on this. It says, moneylender, and it says they're more like a loan shark than a banker. And so I thought that was kind of a funny statement to say that Jesus is really letting you know that this is because 500 denarii is, and the other 50. By the way, we think, well, 500 sounds so much more than 50 when a daily wage is about one denarius a day. So either way, this is what the trick is here, is to say either way, there's a ridiculous amount of money on the table here, 50, and then go up to 500, which is just a ridiculous, even over and above that amount of money to be owing. That's why I think the Lutheran Study Bible decided to go with the term loan shark, because that is a huge amount of money. When you think of how much money that you might make, even if you had, let's say, a minimum wage job and you worked for 500 days, well, put all that money on a table, right? That's quite a bit of money to have sitting there. And so now we're dealing with people who are in debt to someone, which is clearly beyond their means.
So this, apparently, one of the debtors was not Dave Ramsey.
No.
Wouldn't let it get to that point.
Maybe early Dave Ramsey.
But this is true, who learned from all of his experience. One owed 500, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Which of them will love him more? Well, what seems reasonable?
Yeah. Well, when you see this, now here's another. This is a great Pharisee answer. Because even when Jesus was speaking to the lawyer about the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, you're getting a similar kind of answer. Whereas the one who showed him mercy was what the Pharisee or the lawyer said to him about the Good Samaritan, and this Simon answers him, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. You know, if we're just throwing our ideas out there, it's not like it's screamingly obvious, but he just kind of throws it out there. Well, I suppose for whom he canceled larger debt. And then here's Jesus. He didn't say, unlike to the lawyer, he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning towards, you know, so he's now saying, you know what? When that woman came in, guess what? You judged her rightly. As being a prostitute, a whore, whatever the term is, and so now he's diagnosed the law. The law is she is a sinner, and then she's worried. He's worried because he knows she's a sinner because he's upset that she's interacting with Jesus, and now Jesus starts to talk to him about the forgiveness of sins, and the one he says, well, he canceled both of their debts, by the way, which is awesome. And but then he says, well, the one that had this larger debt, this larger weight, would be even the more grateful. And so we're now starting to see what kind of thing we're dealing with here, not just one occasion of a city woman who's known as a sinner coming in. We're dealing with a big picture here. And then this is important. He then, turning towards the woman, he's not looking at Simon anymore. Jesus turns and looks at her and says, do you see this woman? Now imagine him looking right at her while he's saying this. I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. He starts to go into how she treated him. And by the way, it's normal to wash a person's feet in this culture when they come into your house because of the dust of the road and everything. You gave me no kiss. But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You see what? And now he's starting to point out that this person that you judged rightly as being a sinner isn't in denial about her state either. And she is falling at his feet. And isn't that what we're starting to see happening here? Starting to unpack what Jesus is doing. He's not here just to get a free meal. He's always preaching this coming kingdom of God.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Bront Hoffman from Christ Lutheran Church and School in Coos Bay, Oregon. We're in Luke chapter 7 today, verses 36 through 50. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying in Luke chapter 7. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
There's a difference between looking and seeing. Understanding comes from knowing the context. This week on The Lutheran Hour, Pastor Gregory Seltz helps us to see Jesus in perspective. Author Karen Tripp talks about the courage to face cancer, and Pastor Seltz describes a different way to think about prayer. That's all this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Bront Hoffman from Christ Lutheran Church and School in Coos Bay, Oregon. We're in Luke chapter 7 today, verses 36 through 50. If you have a question or a comment, the listener line's 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. We're in Luke chapter 7, around verse 44. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So this all occurs after Jesus gives this little parable-like story of a moneylender and two debtors, and asks who, and forgives the debt, who would love him more? Well, the one with the greater debt, Simon says. Jesus says, "You have judged rightly." Then he turns to the woman and says what all she has done since he's been there, that the host has done hardly at all.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because for Pharisees, getting things right is sort of their job. I mean, that's what they sort of pride themselves on. And the hospitality that Jesus was shown, this is an interesting thing, is not, I mean, it goes back to Genesis 18, when you talk about the dusty roads and washing feet and what hospitality was, and it was considered to be sort of general hospitality. And for some reason, and I don't know why, some reason this was overlooked, and so when Jesus was in, and obviously he made no mention of it, or apparently I should say, he made no mention of it when he came in, that, nobody washed my feet, and in the kiss of greeting, I mean, that's the ancient East version of like a handshake, and that didn't occur. So this is why, this is kind of where I get the idea that the Pharisee was there not simply to honor him as a prophet, but also perhaps from examples in other scriptural passages to say, well, he's here to kind of put Jesus' feet to the fire a little bit to figure out, you know, what kind of prophet is he? And because when you don't extend him this general courtesy, and you'll notice that even a person they've described as a sinner is knows this. And she happens to express this courtesy in a way that is nothing short of humble, and nothing short of almost grief-stricken, panic-stricken, to say that, you know, I'm a sinner, and then but yet it's not like she doesn't know basic courtesy. And of course, she expresses it in a way that is nothing short of dramatic. So that's an interesting thing that also that the scriptures point that he's looking at her when he says this to Simon, the Pharisee, because there's a dig there for somebody who bases their whole existence on being right or being righteous. Would say, well, you kind of just got shown up by a prostitute, and to say, and look, and this prostitute is now teaching you what proper manners are at a feast. That's no small thing to say that, because it's common courtesy, and it just wasn't happening. And he showed that she actually knows this common thing. For us, we call it common sense.
All these things that she does, you know, may seem simple, but yet at the same time are quite significant because of who she is, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wept so much that it wet his feet. You know, her tears wet his feet. She wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. There's a sacrifice, a cost to that too, I would think, on her part.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because olive oil, you know, it was an olive oil. They're saying that it was the ointment, which is perfumey, and it's something that it's expensive. And we get back to, well, where does a sinner from the city get this kind of money? And you know, you could even go into, you know, well, certainly she must have purchased this with her ill-gotten money. The ointment is unclean. You know, you could go into all kinds of stuff, you know, to get the Pharisees really, really going, working them into a foam here. But when they come in, and there's an interesting thing, because what he's doing is he's pointing out that she's bringing this stuff to her, this sinner, and to us, we may take this for granted. But when we look at a person who's a sinner, for whatever sin it can be, and they know where to go when this becomes true, it's Jesus. And so here she is at the feet of Jesus, and it may seem ridiculous to us, maybe it doesn't, that the Pharisee would say, well, you're a sinner. Why in the world are you going to Jesus for this? And how dare you interrupt my party? And to say that, you know, the party got interrupted because of a sinner. And, of course, the amount of debt that the person owes in Jesus' parable kind of makes that story for us. This is the blessing for us, is to say that, well, you know what? Whenever we kind of think that we're the party host, it's always important to realize that Jesus will point us to being the greater debt, you know, being the greater debt. And which isn't just to punch us in the face over it. It's to say that, well, we also have the greater forgiveness. And that's a really, for a pastor who has ministered in diverse areas and situations, you certainly don't get a short amount of people who are just broken. And to say that, well, my example from Scripture is to show that somebody who was just considered to be the bottom of the barrel is you'll find Jesus down there. You know, at the bottom, when you're at the end of your rope, you'll find Jesus there. When you're on, you know, or on the edge of a cliff, you'll find Jesus there. These people that have given up and society has given up on them, and sometimes pastors have given up on them. Our call as called and ordained servants of the word is to remember that, no, when you find people at their worst, you remember that Jesus is there for them. And that's no small thing to be a minister of the gospel in that sense, is to say, well, I haven't found somebody yet who wants the love of Jesus that I can say, well, I'm sorry, you're kind of messed up. I can't give that to you because you're so messed up. Well, no, the answer is that's why Jesus came, was for the sinners, you know. John 3:16 is still applicable to that woman from the city who is a sinner, and the dun-dun-dun music again. So that's really what this is so huge, and to see what kind of merciful God that we all have and love and who cares for us.
Verse 47, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Wow. This, he speaks about forgiveness. And granted, he spoke about forgiveness of this debt earlier. Does this correspond to that?
Oh, yes. Again, don't you just love Jesus' parables? They point to something that very much, it's really hard to find a person in our society or really in any society who says, well, money is just really not an issue for me, or currency, whatever the currency is, the trade currency, to say that no matter what culture you go into, there's going to be things that people prize and will trade for something else. Even when, you know, when I did a ministry to Sudanese people from South Africa, they would say, well, this here, if I had this goat, I could easily, you know, trade it for this and this, or it would cost this much to marry this woman, and it would cost me a cow. And I think, oh, a cow, you know, but whatever culture you run into, whatever currency they talk about, Jesus points at it. You know, you're trying to get something or to acquire something. So when he talks about owing a denarii, even though Americans don't use denarii, it's not a difficult leap for us to understand what debt looks like. And so when he says, when we hear a parable of somebody being deeply in debt and that debt being forgiven, we would say, wow, that would lift a burden off me if my home loan was all of a sudden. And then so we look at Jesus here to say, well, anybody who has this giant debt removed from them, they're going to be great. Wow, that's amazing. And somebody who believes they were forgiven very little are going to go, oh, yeah, sweet, nice. and so he makes this point to not focus on sort of the petty little person who got a little. He mentions it, but he was talking about things, you know, her sins, which are many. Keep this in mind. Don't forget, Jesus and the Pharisee are eye to eye. This woman has a huge problem, and the problem is sin, and she has lots of sins. And then he says, are forgiven, for she loved much. This is amazing. But he who is forgiven little, huh? I love little. You know, and so he's not doubting whether sin exists, and neither should we. So he's saying, yeah, this woman, she's man. Woo! She's seriously, she's a sinner. And then he tells her, you know, your sins are forgiven.
Is he saying that one earns forgiveness by loving much?
I hope not, because then I need a refund for my seminary experience, because this is not what I was. No, your love doesn't earn forgiveness. Rather, I would argue from the scripture that it flowed from being shown mercy. that just Jesus answers that question for us, that the work of the gospel of forgiveness, of reconciliation, has caused this outpouring of love, of to say that she knows that this debt really is forgiven. And for her, this is an expression of joy. She loved much. And so certainly our love offerings would be, I would argue that they would be insufficient for forgiveness. And I think I have lots of scripture to back me up. But no, her love, we should always see that as being genuine and being an outflowing, a result of the gospel.
A result of that forgiveness that we have received.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes.
Verse 49, then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins?
Dun, dun, dun. Now we have the second ominous music, because now they're asking the question. Wow.
It wasn't a regular practice for someone to go around forgiving sins. I mean, we had the Day of Atonement, but it wasn't regular for someone to go around forgiving sins like this, was it?
No, no, no. I mean, again, if we look back to, I believe it's Leviticus 16 and they talk, or 12, and they look at the Day of Atonement, this is special. But you did not have, you know, people would go to where God has promised to meet them in the temple, and during the ministry of Christ, you have the ministry of this reconciliation coming, God coming to you. And no, this, the prophet isn't going to do this. We'll also remember the man who couldn't walk, and Jesus told him, "Your sins are forgiven." I remember, and he was, who is he that he can forgive sins? Well, what's harder to say that, or take up your mat and walk? So Jesus says, take up your mat and walk. either way, whatever, go and do it. But who is this that can forgive sins? And that is the most important question we can answer. Just the other day, I was on the dock with my sons and my wife, and we were crabbing, which is a big thing to do in Coos Bay. And there was a man there, and he was really trying really hard to strike up a conversation with me. So I started talking to him, and it turns out he was hoping to convert me to Christianity. And he says to me these questions, and he says to me, "Why do you think there are so many divisions in Christianity?" And, you know, I'm just kind of fishing with my boys there, and I look at him, and I said, "Well, I have a theory on this." And he said, "Oh, okay, what is your theory?" I said, "Well, I believe there are so many divisions in Christianity because, one, we're fallen and broken sinners. And two, when it comes to the second person of the Holy Trinity of Jesus Christ, people want to say very strange things about him. And other people will disagree with some of them. And what's even stranger is people will want to say biblical things about him, and that will offend other people." And he said, "Well, aren't we supposed to worship in spirit and truth?" And I said, "Yes." And the trouble is when we talk about truth, if we're not looking at what the scriptures tell us, people that aren't looking at the scriptures, they still say that they're preaching the truth. And so we, as sinners, we know that, well, this will all be made clear to all of us in the resurrection. And he was, by the way, he was very pleased to find out I believed in the resurrection. So, you know, Dr. Gibbs, you know, I gave him a little hat tip. It was to say that, well, of course, in the resurrection, this will all be made clear. In the meantime, we have a clear witness of Scripture to answer the question, who is this who even forgives sins? Well, he's certainly God incarnate. And he's God made flesh, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ. And so it's a wonderful question for each Christian to ask every day, and look no further than our small catechisms, you know, for this answer. But who is this? Well, he's God. And this is a big question, because for us, we've had the benefit of this gospel our whole lives. You know, I mean, it's always been here. And for these people who are just coming into seeing that all these promises God made in the Old Testament are true, they're starting to dawn on him. And this is amazing because, again, who is this? Well, this is more than just some prophet like Islam thinks Jesus, well, he was just a prophet. And they would be just as horrified by this. But for Christians, we know, well, no, this is God who has come to us and done this for us.
And lastly, with just about a minute left, he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
Yes. Your faith has saved you. Forgiveness, what is it? It imparts deliverance from sin and death. In our third article of the Creed, we know that this woman has faith. And the faith that comes from the Holy Spirit, again, she didn't muster this faith up. We know that it was given to her. It was a gift. And so when we talk about faith in that way, we know that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son has been given to her, and she now, a sinner, a prostitute from the city, has hope of life eternal with Jesus Christ and all other wretched, horrible sinners who know and love and trust in him.
Looking over the text as a whole with just about 30 seconds to sum it up, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text today in Luke chapter 7, Pastor Hoffman?
I would say that as Christians, it's our blessing, not just to call it our duty, but it's our blessing to know that when we run across people who are suffering and hurting because of their sins or even under the bullying of other sinners or whatever, we know that that person, on account of Jesus Christ, should never be counted out, but should be a wonderful hope to know that they have the same Jesus as the sinner woman from the city.
Our guest today, the Reverend Bront Hoffman from Christ Lutheran Church and School in Coos Bay, Oregon. Pastor Hoffman, thanks for being our guest and helping us study in Luke chapter 7 today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
My pleasure. God bless you and all the saints at Christ Lutheran Church and School in Coos Bay, Oregon. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday with a special guest today. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Share-a-thon 2016, a week away.